Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 14th, 2024. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by me, Readings by Tanya, because I do that sometimes. And, like, you can check it out, you know, if you want. I'm not going to pressure you, but you can go to tanyabrown.schedulisa.com or Witch Daily Show website and click services or readings, I think it is. And you can get a reading. I do past life readings. I do grand tableau readings. So yeah, check it out. You know, why not? So our quote of the day is, "No man can ever end with being superior who will not begin with being inferior." Sydney Smith. Love that. So we're talking about the bleeding heart rant this week. And more specifically, we are talking about the bleeding heart in terms of magical correspondences. So, obviously, if it's not obvious, it has a magical correspondence of love. So, it's absolutely perfect for using within love, magic, intensity, passion. It's the heart that bleeds. This isn't puppy love. This isn't innocent love. This is deep, passionate. Think of every toxic relationship from a movie, that sort of thing. And it's intense and powerful. So, yeah, bleeding heart. All right, witches, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from medium.com. AI, demons, aliens, elementals, archons, and magic. In a 2014 speech at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Elon Musk said, "With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon." And all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, it's like, yeah, he's sure he can control the demon. Musk added that it never works out in those stories. In the areas of advanced technology, especially artificial intelligence, there lies a fascinating, albeit unsettling, parallel with the world of the occult and mystical entities. The rapid advancement of AI has led to comparisons with otherworldly forces, drawing analogies of demons, aliens, and magical phenomena. This perspective offers a unique lens through which to view an ongoing evolution of AI, blending the lines between science, myth, and magic. One of the most thought-provoking aspects of the comparison of AI to supernatural entities, this idea isn't new, right? Notable figures in the tech world have often expressed their apprehensions about AI in terms akin to summoning a demon. This allegory isn't just for dramatic effect. It underscores the potential uncontrollable nature of AI, much like the unpredictable and often dangerous nature attributed to being summoned or like summoning beings in folklore and myth. Summoned beings in folklore and myth are often portrayed as powerful and dangerous, with various cultures around the world having their own unique tales and warnings. These entities, ranging from demons to spirits to genies and fairies, are frequently depicted as possessing abilities beyond human understanding, and their interactions with humans can lead to unintended and often perilous consequences. So yeah, I kind of see it. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a believer that, like, AI is going to, like, destroy the world in terms of, like, it's going to come to life and enslave the human race. I don't believe that. These things can only do what we program them to do and what we tell them to do, and they only have as much intelligence as the person programming them does, right? That is just science. That's just computer technology. I have a degree in computer programming, and that's just how it works. Now, can AI hurt people? And I say yes, especially as we've seen with artists. Now, we've seen artists fight back, and I love that, but we've seen a lot of issues. We've seen, allegedly, the Disney Corporation using AI to create graphics for their t-shirts. Disney can afford artists. They can afford to pay artists a salary, a livable wage. Why would they do that? You know what I mean? So I definitely see that there's issues there. I will proudly say that Which Way, we don't use AI graphics. We don't use AI illustrations. I hire illustrators. I pay illustrators best I can. It's not always like the most money in the world, but I pay them. I don't use voice cloning. I hire voice artists. Now, I will say when it comes to writing, sometimes I will use AI to like pull information for me. I'll be like, okay, who are like the 10 most notable presidents or something? And I'll use it to generate that. But that's also just Googleable. But when it comes to art, you need to pay artists. You need to hire artists. And I will proudly say that that's something I've always done. Which Way and my work was among one of the first publications in the witchcraft community to even pay people. You'll find a lot of the biggest names within the witch media sphere do not pay their people who are creating their content. Usually you're just lucky to be there. And I've never believed in that from day one. So you pay your people. If you have writers, you pay them. If you have artists, you pay them. I hire illustrators. I hire, we have people who submit. They'll be like, I want to be on the cover and I have this great picture, and I pay them. You know what I mean? And that's just something I very much believe in. And I would rather struggle a little bit forever and help people put food on their tables than to be more comfortable and have the people around me struggle. And that is where I think AI is the problem. So there we go. All right, witches, after a fun little nag sesh, I'm going to throw this over to the moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, March 14th. The waxing crescent moon moves from Lilo Taurus to mixing it up Gemini today. Here, the moon conjuncts Uranus and squares Mars. The Mars-Uranus square can be quite explosive. Be careful about getting mired in conflict. This dispute will likely take you off guard, as Uranus has a way of catching us when we least expect it. We can be especially annoyed when someone comes at us out of nowhere with an argument. Try not to be too quick to engage. It's unlikely that this is truly something that's just cropping up in the moment. The person who's bringing this to you has probably been sitting on this for a while, and the energy of the day spurred them into action. Think about the root of the problem and try addressing it from there rather than from the place of aggression that is currently the stance of the opposing party. Your daily moon mantra is, maybe you're searching among the branches for something that only appears at the roots. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2.
All right, we are back. And I forgot to say that, yes, that is medium.com, which I stated, but I forgot to state the writer, David Holt, from Weird Strange Stories. David honestly seems to be a fantastic writer, so go check that out. All right, so we have a question from listener Kim. Kim says, the heck is chaos magic? Kim, that's a fantastic question. Now, before we dig in, I'm going to go ahead and state that I am not a practitioner of chaos magic. I believe you all know that. You all know me well enough. So obviously I will be pulling from resources. I just like to give a little heads up. I do not practice this, but I'm going to pull from some hopefully good sources. So what is chaos magic? I think I first started hearing about chaos magic in my early 20s. So I want to say it's not new. It's not new at all. But, you know, sometimes it can take things a while to kind of hit mainstream occultism, I guess. So what is it? Chaos magic is a modern tradition of magic. It emerged from England in the 1970s, according to Wikipedia. It was a part of a wider neo-pagan and esoteric subculture. So yeah, it looks like it's from the 70s, so it's about 50 years old. It drew heavily from the occult beliefs of Austin Spare and expressed several decades earlier. It has been characterized as an invented religion. I mean, aren't they all? With not to be a but I think all religions are invented. So that's interesting. But there is a belief that there's some similarities between chaos magic and Discordianism. So the founding figures of chaos magic believed that other cult traditions had become too religious in character. I don't wholly disagree. They attempted to strip away the symbolic, ritualistic, and theological or otherwise other ornamental aspects of these occult traditions to leave behind a set of basic techniques they believed to be the basis of magic. I get it. I get what they're saying. They're basically saying magic is this thing that works, and these other traditions are throwing on top of it myth, throwing on top of it deity, throwing on top of it rituals, throwing on top of it symbolism. But it does exist on its own in this very simple form. I get it. I did a book club recently where I was learning about a Wiccan tradition that I was unfamiliar with. And I was actually always pretty unfamiliar with Wiccan tradition because that was just never my situation. But it dawned on me. I would see this like go-to almost handbook of this religion talking about real things, but in a mythical way. And I thought it was really interesting. I'm like, oh, this religion took a thing with real historical background and turned it into a myth. It's like they made it faker. And that's when it dawned on me. I was like, oh, religion is just taking real things and putting on top of it belief, putting on top of it myth, in a way that it makes sense to you. And I'm not against that, but I think we all need to realize this when it comes to religion. And I think if we can all realize that when it comes to religion and all religions, we can realize that like no one's better than anyone else. We're all just trying to make sense of the natural magic of the world in the same way, or in different ways, or in ways that make better sense to us, or through a story we like more, you know? So I actually really jive with this. Chaos magic teaches that the essence of magic is that perceptions are conditioned by beliefs, and that the world as we perceive it can be changed deliberately by changing those beliefs. So chaos magicians subconsciously treat belief as a tool, often creating their own magical systems and frequently borrowing from other magical traditions, movements, and culture. Hugh Urban has described chaos magic as the union of traditional occult techniques and applied postmodernism, particularly a postmodernistic skepticism concerning the existence of knowability of objective truth. Yeah, I get this makes sense to me. I get it. Namely, according to him, chaos magic rejects the existence of absolute truth, agree, and views of occult systems as arbitrary symbol systems that are only effective because of the belief of the practitioner. Yes. I can't believe I've never looked into this before because I vibe with it so well. I agree. Especially where he says, they view cult systems as arbitrary symbol systems that are only effective because of the belief of the practitioner. Yes. Oh my gosh. Agree. And it was when I was like doing this, kind of reading this Wiccan book, I was like, oh, they're taking things that are objectively real and true and historical and just like blurring it with myth and belief and story, when like Why? The real thing is cool and powerful enough. Why do we need to make it blurry? And what, you know what I mean? And again, it's religion. That's the difference between religion and spirituality, in my opinion. I think spirituality is, I don't know, maybe I'm not wording this correctly, but it feels like religion can make things that are simple blurry, you know? And I think we all just find the story that suits us the best, if that makes sense. Kim, this was a great question. You are like blowing my mind with this question, and I am so driving with this. It's like not even funny. Okay, so let's look at dazeddigital.com. What is chaos magic? A guide to radical occult practice. So this was written by, this was written by Isabella Greenwood. Chaos magic is a radical and near impossible practice to completely define. It started in the UK in the 1700s alongside the punk movement. Chaos magic took a radical approach to occult, reimagining typical magical doctrine and practice. Unlike other occult orders, chaos magicians weren't concerned with ornate robes or hierarchical structure, but with magic and ritual in its purest form. Chaos magic believes the cosmos is in constant flux. Any order of reality, cognitive, perceptual, moral, is subject to chaos. As a result, chaos magicians have created their own magical systems and frequently borrow from other systems as well. Eclectic in nature, pagan gods were given the same level of importance as rock stars, pop culture figures, and fictional characters, and reality is seen as a field of overlapping belief system. Quote, chaos magicians distrust that one idea applies to all groups or people, says Andre Vidimus, a chaos magician and author of Hands-On Chaos Magic. For him, chaos magic relies on results rather than universalized notions of truth, in turn creating a practice that is more accessible as well as more personal. Practitioners are not tied to specific tools or doctrine, which allows a greater group of people to practice without financial constraints or tetherings to unchanging belief systems. This makes it particularly useful for modern practitioners, says Lexa Strada. I love this. Anyways, I really hope that was helpful, Kim. I know I learned something here. Thank you so much for asking. What a fantastic question. I feel like I'm buying that book, Hands-On Chaos Magic, like immediately. All right, witches. So we're wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Karen Walker. Karen, you smashing, scintillating sunflower. Tiffany Kalen, you rule-breaking, glowing fire dragon. Elaine Gonzalez, you scholarly, charming Loch Ness monster. And Rachel Brady, you earthy, innocent spinster. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources. Anything we reference can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.